point to in the life of Moses that are of considerable benefit to us. But the few ones we can pinpoint in the last effort, let us keep this in mind and know that God is overseeing us wherever we are. Now we want to turn to another aspect of the life of Moses as enunciated by the Hebrew writer. We turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 through 26, the choice of Moses. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. The choice Moses made. The first part of our lesson has given us insight into the circumstances of Moses' birth. And the Hebrew writer is now highlighting what took place at age 40 of his life. He chose to identify himself with the people of God. Brethren, we need to understand that every day we take decisions. Every day of our lives, we make choices. Some of the choices we make are ephemeral in nature. They do not last long. For example, you go to a buffet, you make decision as to what you want to eat, whether you go for plenty of red meat or vegetables or sweets. That's a choice of some nature. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, does this have any lasting consequence? We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that food for the belly, belly for food, but God is going to destroy all. So what you choose to eat or not to eat cannot be put on the same pedestal with the person you choose to marry. Perhaps older people among us will appreciate the fact that next to the decision of becoming a Christian, about the most important decision any of us can make is whether to marry this fellow or that fellow, because of the permanent nature of marriage. You are choosing the one you are going to share your life with throughout your entire life. According to the scriptures, once you make your choice, you stick to it. I tell people, from what I've experienced in life, over one of my vehicles, our brother Keith knows that vehicle. I used it for 12 years, and it got to a stage that you cannot shift the gears. My son, who is now a young man, I have him all the time with me. He has to go under the car to hook the gear into the appropriate place. But from that experience, I got to know, maybe I should say, make one more statement. I was involved in a traffic holdup. So terrible, the road was blocked. Everybody was reversing. But my boy, unfortunately, was not with me on that day. Everybody was reversing. When it came to my turn to reverse, people were shouting on me, "Oga, that's master in Nigeria. Oga, go now. Oga, reverse." But my vehicle has no reverse gear. My only son who knows where to fix it, was not with me on that day. And that drove home to me the lesson on marriage. A vehicle without reverse. So there are decisions we make that are passing. There are decisions we make that will follow us through life. What decision? What type of decision did Moses make? Moses was not the only one who made choice or choices in the Bible. The book of Genesis chapter 13 tells us of the choice of Lot. Abraham gave him the privilege of choosing where to go because of friction between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's own herdsmen. Abraham said, "My brother, there's no need for us to fight. Let there be no conflict between me and you, or between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. The old man is before you. Choose. If you go left, I go right. If you go right, I go left." The Bible informs us that Lot looked and saw the green pastures along the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "Yes, that's the one I like." Lot did not consider the consequences of his choice. He was only informed by economic considerations, having a good pasture for his flock. And what were the repercussions of the choice of Lot? You remember? He chose a place filled with ungodly people, a place God will later destroy, and a place where his daughters will not get husbands to marry. He paid dearly, and so much that he engaged in incestuous relationship with his daughters. And that was a very sad story in the Bible. Now, that shows you that every day of our lives, the choice that we make, the decisions that we make, some of them have far-reaching consequences. And as we have said earlier on, the decision we make to become Christians, faithful Christians, or to remain in unbelief, or to become unfaithful, is a decision that will follow us to eternity. Here is Moses. The Hebrew writer says, by faith, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. What does that language convey to us? Moses chose to suffer affliction. We all are born into this world as free moral agents. We choose what we go, the way we go. We choose where to go. That's the way God created us. And it is for us to be sufficiently acquainted with the will of God so that we may make the right choices, make the right decisions. Moses chose to identify with the people of God. In our previous lesson, we've seen the position of Moses in the land of Egypt. He was a de facto prince in Egypt. He had everything the royalty could offer. And you can understand this to mean prestige. Moses was able to beat his chest anywhere and say, "Don't you know whom you are talking to? This is Moses, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You are talking to a prince." Moses was born and reared at the expense of the state. Moses had the choicest of food, the choicest of clothes in the land of Egypt, in the palace of King Pharaoh. That was the position of Moses in the land of Egypt. Well, what did Moses do? He refused all these privileges. He refused all these honors and identified with his own kinsmen. What was the position of his kinsmen at this time? If you have a person who is one of the downtrodden, carrying load on his head, keep to remember how people carry loads on their heads in Nigeria. Even if the one carrying load on his head is your brother, in a public place, you will not say, "That is my brother." Rather, you go home and say, "Why were you carrying load on your head?" But publicly, you won't call a carrier your own brother, because that's a disgrace, because that's a shame. But what did Moses choose? He jettisoned all the privileges, all the honor of royalty, and identified himself with people who were in bondage. He chose to suffer affliction. Brethren, it is time for us to realize that Christianity is not a bed of roses. It is not only to believe in Christ. We must be ready to suffer for the sake of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, and verse 29. Philippians 1, 29. Paul says, here writing to the Philippians, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." The mistake some of us are making is that all we have in Christ is life of enjoyment, life that is rosy, life that is trouble-free. Back home in Nigeria, we understand why people feel this way. Because false teachers, the charismatic movements, one of their cardinal points is come to Christ, you will enjoy. Come to Christ, he is going to solve all your problems. Come to Christ, he will give you visa to Europe, visa to America. Come to Christ, he will help you pay all your debts. So, if people have been misguided through this kind of preaching to believe that all we come to do with Christ is enjoyment, physical enjoyment, but the Bible disagrees with that. It is not only for us to believe in Christ, but to be ready to suffer for his sake. We all may not have to go through what Nigerians are passing through in terms of afflictions of this life. Even here in America, there are sufferings you must endure for the sake of Christ. And one of these, you know, is what I've come to see that is so rampant in America. Divorce and remarriage. And ever since I've come to America, I've been hearing this among brethren. Women committing adultery. Men going after other women. I pray this will not be your lot. If for whatever reason your wife decides to go away from you and divorce you, what does Christ say? Whoever marries a woman that is divorced, or to quote it from the beginning, I tell you, let's read Matthew 19. King James, English, and the Revised Standard confuse me at times. Matthew 19 and verse 9. This passage needs to be at the back of our minds, especially our young men and young women, as they decide to make their choices. It says here in New American Standard Version, I say unto you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. That is Christ's statement. Which means, if your wife should leave you without committing adultery, for whatever reason, in the sight of God, you have to remain celibate.
Amen.
And so, is this easy? I do not know how a 25-year-old girl will survive this. I do not know how a 25-year-old man whose wife chooses to live in will remain so throughout his life. This is a suffering for Christ. And Christ, as you read in Matthew 19, the next verse, 10 and 11, some are born naturally as eunuchs. Some are made so by men. Some have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So we are saying this morning, you must be ready to suffer a life of celibacy, the life where you will not have a wife or husband, if your wife or your husband decides to leave you. We do not know. Other than God has said it. You cast your mind back to our first lesson on obedience. God said it, that settles it. So if this is your lot in life, you have to take it. You are suffering for Christ. This is the choice, the kind of choice Moses made. He chose to suffer affliction. And the Bible is telling us this morning, by coming to Christ, it is not only rest. We have rest as we abide in his will, but we have some yoke to put on our necks. This yoke may mean that you may have to live like that, without wife, without husband, until the end of your life. Moses suffered in this way. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. There are other passages that tell us that we must be ready to suffer in this area. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. All that we live godly in Christ Jesus, we suffer persecution. And as Paul was coming back from his first preaching tour, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, what was the focus of his encouragement to brethren? Acts 14, 22 reads, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. This was Paul's main message as he was returning. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. So Moses chose. When he had the privilege of royalty, he chose to identify with the people of God, to suffer affliction. We must be prepared to follow the example of Moses if we must have eternal salvation. Again, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. That brings to the two points. One, sin as pleasure. The Bible does not deceive us. God does not deceive us in any way. It is pleasurable for man to feel proud and behave proud, to be arrogant. It is pleasurable. We talk of fornication, adultery, there is pleasure there. It is pleasurable to tell lies, and so on and so forth. Sin has pleasure, but the pleasure that comes from sin is just for some time, a little time. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Pleasure is derivable in sin, but it is a momentary pleasure. People in Nigeria who have stolen public treasury, when somebody came and said he was going to curb corruption, many houses, plenty of dollars have been retrieved, and they become people that people look upon as thieves. They call them and their children thieves. But when they were stealing this money, they thought they were wise men. That is the nature of sin. No pleasure that sin gives you that will last long. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world. It goes on. And the world passes away with all the lusts thereof. Your life is fleeting. You are passing away with all the lusts in the world and in your life. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You want to abide forever with God? Side with Moses, who looked down on the pleasures of sin, the pleasure of sin that royalty, as we have said, could have provided for Moses. Moses looked down on everything. Verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 11. Moses had his own focus, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses gave himself a focus, and that is the riches that awaits the righteous at the end of time. In one of our lessons, we have described, we have used Peter and his language to describe these riches. And that takes us back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We take 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, which is undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That is our inheritance. That is our true riches. He fall back at the parable of the unjust or faithful steward in Luke chapter 16. We do not have riches of our own here. Whatever we have here, we are only stewards of God over them. Our true riches are in heaven, reserved there. And this was the focus of Moses. Is this your choice? Is this my choice? This is the time. We have another opportunity of straightening up our lives. This world is not our own. We have no continuing city here. In the real sense of the word, our citizenship is in heaven. That is where God is taking us to. If you are here this morning and you have not obeyed Jesus, the greatest decision you can ever make is to come to Christ Jesus. He died for you. He is the sustainer of your life. Without him, you can do nothing. If you come to him now, believe him, repent of your sins, confess his name, and you submit yourself for baptism, your faith, your confession, and your obedience will lead to salvation. But, and we pray, you will not fail. But if you fail to choose him now, a day is coming you will confess with your mouth, but it will be unto condemnation. Because every eye will see him, and everybody will acknowledge his lordship. It is now that you can confess that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, and this will be to your salvation. If you are ready to do this and side with Moses in making the right choice, we are ready to assist you if you will come as we sing the invitation song.